The new state budget downsized by 3.5% the number of State Department of Natural Resources employees. And DNR is being reorganized in a way that alarms some in the environmental community. To discuss all these changes, thanks to Kathy Stepp, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Secretary Stepp, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you for having me. It's been too long.
Thank you very much. And it has been too long. Mm-hmm. You run the third largest state agency. But when I look through the summaries of the budget that the governor signed, your agency is going to take the biggest loss in FTEs. You're going to go from 2642 in last year to 2549 this year, which is a 92 FTE reduction,
right,
or 3.5%. So I guess my question is, are Wisconsinites going to see less services from a smaller DNR?
Well, some perspective I think is important.
Please.
As we talk about this. We're not unusual in the situation that we find ourselves in as far as natural resources or environmental regulating agencies across the country. States across the country are being, you know, squeezed all the time. We're competing for the very same dollars that are, you know, human needs like Medicaid or corrections or education, et cetera. So it's important for us to remember that we've got important jobs to do when it comes to regulating the environment or activities in the environment, as well as managing wildlife and fish and parks and fighting forest fires and all the different diverse things that we do. And we get a lot of different pots of money, but the reality, Steve, is like what it is across the country, is that states are being asked to do more with less, as are state agencies. So we're going to be continuing to look now as we do a workload analysis. Our alignment exercise that we're going through is, first of all, like all healthy organizations do, we have to identify what are our core deliverables to the public, and the public's going to be a part of that discussion. Our employees are going to have a great deal to say about that, too, to help us understand what their work is that they do every day. And then focusing on making sure that we're prioritizing the workload and then structuring our agency in a way that's responsive to the 20% reduction we've seen in manpower over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then being able to meet those expectations that we're required to do. We've got a lot of requirements from the federal government, from different federal agencies like EPA and the Fish and Wildlife Service. As well as state legislators, you know, that pass different things and expect us to implement those too. My job as the leader of the organization is to be able to identify if there are areas that we can't meet with the current number of boots on the ground that we've got, to come up with a plan on how to meet those needs, and then to be able to explain to the people who invest in us, which is all of Wisconsin citizens, how we're going to give them the best return on that investment and still be able to deliver. If we can't, then I'm going to have a really good detailed business analysis on what we need, why we need it, what the costs are going to be, and then how to meet or exceed those expectations.
The agency is, as I said, losing 3.5% of its employees in the current budget, and you just said 20% drop in FTEs over what period, ma'am?
20 years.
20 years. Mm-hmm. Well, then, obviously, does the mission change? Give me the elevator version of the DNR mission with this reduced number of workers.
Well, the mission is the same, and the plan to meet the mission is the same. The mission, if I had to give you the Reader's Digest version, because like a lot of organizations, it's very lengthy, but suffice it to say, it's to manage and protect the environment and our natural resources while working with people. The while working with people thing sometimes gets left off of there. We've got lots of different stakeholders and interested parties. When you think about it, Steve, we touch the lives of every single Wisconsinite and traveler, you know, people that want to come and have fun in Wisconsin. So we've got a huge job to do. So we've got to make sure that all the work that our employees are doing on a daily basis are directly tied to that mission. And there are some things that maybe we've liked to do over many years that we just don't have the capacity to do anymore. And then, of course, there are the things that we're required to do that we have to make sure that we're meeting those expectations. So when we talk about reduced services, my goal is to make sure that we structure our workforce in a way that we can do more workload sharing, because the old system from 20 years ago really wasn't as malleable as it needs to be able to respond to the workload issues, being able to share workload across different regions of the state, etc. There's a lot of things that go on in the private sector that are regular everyday occurrences, like you're always looking internally, streamlined, to reinvent, to reinvest, to again redefine how it is you meet those expectations of your customers. Only in government is that seen as something to be afraid of, and I'm trying to really be the Alka-Seltzer on the fear leader there to say, look, the mission is the same, the goals are the same, the expectations, the standards, the regulations are not going to change. This has nothing to do with, you know, reducing standards or regulations. This is all about how do we do a better job of managing our workforce, and we have a responsibility to provide that.
How do you feel you're doing in the area of public standing? And I say that with a footnote, I haven't heard the term damn near Russia in a long time. Do you think, well, you've been secretary now for 5 years.
Yeah.
Do you think the Wisconsinites and, yes, our visitors hold DNR in higher esteem than when you took the job?
Well, the feedback I'm getting from the public has been very positive. You know, there's always going to be controversy in everything that we do at Wisconsin DNR. And if you think about it, I say this all the time to my staff. I said, we're a customer service agency that regulates our customer. So every day we get out of bed, the table is set for a confrontation. It's our job, and it's incumbent upon us as public servants to be able to come, you know, to overcome that perception, to help people who are producing in Wisconsin or want to do something on their land that they own in Wisconsin or have fun here to recreate, explain to them what the rules are in plain English. They shouldn't have to hire lawyers or consultants to be able to do something on their property. It's our job as public servants to explain the laws and the rules in plain English and help them meet those rules and standards. Because, Steve, here's the thing. When we do that job well, and we're doing it across Wisconsin now, where we're really engaging our staff to be more partners with the public, when we do that well, there's no limits to the environmental protections and excellence that we can achieve, because people know what's expected of them. And, you know, 99% of the public out there wants to do the right thing. They just have to know what is the right thing and be unafraid to come and ask us for help and guidance. So customer service has been something I've been focusing on for the last 4.5 years. There are some groups who, every time I say customer service, they right away go to a dark side and say, that means, you know, step one's to say yes to everything. Nothing could be further from the truth. If we have to, and we do, we have to work within the confines of the rules, the laws, the standards that are in place, and we're going to do that, and we're going to use sound science in our decision making, and if there's room, we put common sense in there as well.
Well, on July 28th, you announced a major reorganization of the agency. Is that driven by the 92 fewer workers you're going to have in the next biennium, Madam Secretary?
Well, it's driven by the recognition that all agencies across the country have been asked to do more with less. So again, we're not unique to that. I'm not going to do that to our staff anymore. They've been told for the last 15 years to do more with less. Meanwhile, more and more regs come down from the feds, very dizzying pace, especially lately with EPA. We've got a lot of dizzying things coming at us from Washington. So it's not fair to ask our staff to keep doing more with less because something's going to suffer. So again, organizations need to be looking at, okay, I have to adapt. There's this external stimuli that's coming at us fast and quickly all the time. How are we going to be better positioned to be able to respond to that and do our job on the ground, which is protecting the environment and managing the natural resources? We have to do that. That's expected of us, and we are going to deliver on that.
Well, of the 92 FTAs that the agency is losing, how many of them are vacant?
Almost all.
Almost all.
Yeah, almost all.
So you're not going to have any layoffs?
No layoffs. And we've seen some retirements, some folks who were, you know, eligible to retire before this anyway, who took this as an opportunity. But yeah, we have not had to lay off anybody, and I'm very relieved.
What part within that 92 jobs that you're losing, most of which you just said are vacant, 18 of those jobs come within the Division of Science Services. What will be the function of the new, well, under the reorganization, there won't be a Division of Science Services, will there?
Well, not the way it's structured today, so there's going to be some changes there. And this exercise is going to get us to the answer to that question. So I'm not at a place to say where I've made up my mind yet. There's lots of different possibilities on how do we make sure we've got researchers who are working on the applied research that we need to be done out in the field to answer today's and tomorrow's most urgent questions that we've got, whether it's managing deer, managing bobcats, managing water quality or quantity. We've got lots of different issues that are spinning at all times in this agency. Our job is to make sure that we're prioritizing the type of research that's being done and making sure that that research has integrity and independence. That's the other thing that's really critical to making sure we've got sound research that everybody can rely upon and that there's no political pressure on our researchers. That's really really key to making sure it's successful. So whatever the final structure looks like, I want to make sure, A, it's working in somewhat tangent with the divisions that they're going to be working with. So let's say Fish and Wildlife and Parks, for example. So we've got lots of things, subtopics within that category. So that would be deer management, other wildlife issues, fisheries management, et cetera. So we want to make sure that the research that's going on is answering the questions that our regulators on the ground have, or the biologists on the ground have, or our user groups and interested citizens have. That hasn't been the case in the past. We've seen a pretty sound response from the legislature during this last budget process on some things that they saw that had happened historically in that particular area of the department that they were unhappy about. And they wanted to send a message to us is, you know, get your researchers better aligned with what their constituents are telling them, the legislators. So we're going to do that.
You're going to go from 52 scientists down to 34. At a time when you just said the federal government is imposing more mandates on you.
Right.
So was your agency doing too much research prior to this cut of 18 scientists?
Well, I don't think, I wouldn't categorize it that way. First of all, when I talked about the federal agency sending us mandates, those are rule implementation mandates that really is separate from research projects that have been going on. Some of the research projects that I see the most value in that will help us with today's real challenges would be things like water quality. What are better management practices that can be used on the ground in order to achieve better water quality for drinking water, et cetera? Or when we talk about deer management or CWD disease issues, applied research that will give us much better data that we can rely upon to make our decisions on how do we set goals and quotas and, you know, population expectations, et cetera, of the different species that we manage. So that's where I'd like to see more of our research being implemented and focused toward. We're always going to, and have in the past, used partners in our research efforts. So the basic research, I think, belongs much better housed at the university level so that they can work more on that end of things. And where our guys and gals can be working more in the applied research areas, again, to answer the more urgent needs. Same things, environmental quality, another great example. We've got high capacity well challenges going on in Wisconsin now. So many water issues, frankly, and we're going to see this at the table setting for the next 10, 15 years at Wisconsin DNR. These are huge issues that we as the experts in the science need to be able to provide good solid data to advise the legislator and the legislatures and the governor on what are the best policy decisions to make going forward to help address those needs.
You've heard the criticism, and there is an allegation that the number of scientists was cut as a response to the 2014 study on iron mining in northern Wisconsin. Should that 2014 study have been compiled and issued, or is that, was that an example of an area where that wasn't applied science and that study shouldn't have been done?
I would never say that the study shouldn't have been done. The output of the study, some of the narrative from the study, rankled some in the legislature. So I think that's fair to say. Again, our goal is not, you know, we don't want to make sure that, let's see, how can I say this better? I want to make sure that the data we're providing policymakers, who is the legislature, is sound data that lays out pros and cons of different policy initiatives, for example. We've really come a long way in that building that relationship to make it better. Both parties in the legislature, anytime they've called and they said, I'm thinking about doing a bill on XYZ, and I'll say, well, let me get, you know, these particular folks involved with you, and maybe we can guide you on some things that will show you the pros and the cons of any particular initiative idea. We've really come a long way in that, of not being viewed anymore as an advocate for or an opponent of a particular policymaker's idea. I have to sometimes remind our staff that we are the workforce of the legislature and the governor. So they set the policy, they set what the laws are that they would like to see, and we have to implement that on the ground. So sometimes there might be some areas where it's not implementable, you know, it's just not practical. Mm-hmm. There might be some repercussions of a particular idea that maybe the legislator isn't aware of, and it's our job to be looked at as a neutral source of experts to be able to advise them on that without them feeling like they can't trust what we're saying because we're coming from a different place. And I will tell you, Steve, when I was in the legislature and the state senate, the reputation then of the agency amongst my colleagues and sometimes myself was that they would come in and be opposed, you know, to a legislator's idea. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, your job isn't to be opposed. Your job is to advise. And we can advise, again, pros and cons, and then the decision-making is theirs, not ours. We're the implementers, and we sometimes have to be mindful of that.
One final question on the reduction in the number of scientists. Some say, you've heard the critics, that this will reduce the DNR's watchdog role. Will it?
No, absolutely not. You know, we still have the same responsibilities on the ground. The watchdog role is the regulator role, to make sure that people are working within the, you know, four corners of their permit, that they're complying with what the laws are. When they've got questions or they've got challenges on how to meet those expectations, it's our job to make sure we assist them with any information that we might have that can make them do a better job. There's nothing wrong with working with businesses, with producers, because when we work with them, then again, the environmental excellence bar is raised. We don't want people to go over the limits of their permit. We want them to ask us sooner rather than later after the fact. We want to prevent environmental degradation, and the best way to do that is to be seen as a resource and a partner in their success of meeting what the standards are.
The new federal emission standards, is that going to consume a lot of the work of your scientists?
It's Yes.
I think the governor said that could cost ratepayers $13 billion.
It's
so your
huge.
Agency has a major research role in that?
Well, we do. We're still going through, I think it's 1,500 pages of this proposed rule, which is staggering. To give that some perspective, I think I've used the analogy of 2.5 Harry Potter books, so people can kind of visualize of different
That's
rules
just the
and
rules
language.
And regs?
Right, just the rules
in
on
the
this
EPA?
Particular change. This is just the clean energy plan that just came out. That's just this one rule. We've got another rule that's about ready to be finalized at EPA, which is SO2. Rules when it comes to clean air regulations as well. It's not just Wisconsin is struggling with how to keep up with the pace and the amount of information and rule changes and proposals that are coming from Washington. It is really staggering what's going on. And frankly, we've had to really rely, you know, in great partnership with our friends at PSC, and we've got our staffs that are working together to be able to evaluate what is the meaning of this to Wisconsin citizens, to ratepayers, to producers, to our economy, to the environment. Obviously, there's huge discussions going on all the time with our staffs, but we've also got regular day-to-day work to do. And it's really staggering the amount that's been piled on our heads over the last 4.5 years.
One of the major changes that's in the state budget is our state parks are going to have to be self-sustaining mm-hmm. as of this budget year.
Right.
Is that going to reduce the number of services that provided, the number of park workers, that people using the parks, which are an anchor of our tourism, as you just said?
Yeah.
Are visitors going to the parks going to see less services and workers?
This particular budget initiative has given me the opportunity now to open up a huge discussion, which is going to be very positive. There's lots of potential ways to fund state parks. So what we've been doing is reaching out to our colleagues in other states and using them as the examples of what to do or maybe not to do, to see some different things that they've tried. We've got a lot of different opportunities there with state parks to run them more like businesses, to kind of unshackle us from some of the artificial caps that have put on. Caps, for example, like how many electrified campsites you can have. And again, we don't want to replace what's available in the private sector at private campgrounds. So we don't want to do that, but we do want to be able to offer a different type of experience maybe to the park users. And those are visitors from around the world, frankly, that come to our state parks. This is going to be an opportunity for us to do a really good, again, data-driven evaluation based on successes or failures of other states, and then to bring that to the legislature and to the governor to talk about how would they like to see Wisconsin state parks run. We have extraordinary facilities. We also have extraordinary needs when it comes to infrastructure. Again, we're not unique in Wisconsin to this. There's been a lot of focus over the last several decades about buying land, you know, amassing more of a land holding, if you will. But yet infrastructure, and nationally, the National Park Service is going through the same challenge. There hasn't been nearly as much attention given to infrastructure and taking care of the house we own, if you will. I've said lots of times that, you know, when people at home, they have the opportunity to, you know, buy a vacation home, but their current residence roof is leaking. Well, what do you use the money for? You should be protecting your investments first, right? And make sure your roof stays intact on your existing home before you go out and buy another property. We need to be focused more on that. And so part of this discussion is going to be, what are the infrastructure needs that we haven't been able to meet? And again, there's a lot of demand for those dollars that are out there. So we have to be able to make that business case. And then again, how can we do things differently in Wisconsin to make sure that our state parks remain the jewel of the nation? Because they are. And how we do that is a whole different kind of business plan that we're going to be able to put forward over the next 2 years.
I want to ask you a question that you were asked at the Joint Finance public hearing on your budget.
Yeah.
Does part, as you explore different ways to pay for parks, is corporate sponsorship being considered? Are we likely to see, you know, an Ashley Furniture State Park, a Culver State Park? Or does the budget say you can, the DNR cannot do that?
Well, they're all things are on the table. I will tell you, I haven't had conversations about naming state parks after particular
companies. You have not
companies.
Had. Okay.
No. And that got a lot of heat afterwards from one particular legislator on joint finance bringing that up. We haven't had those discussions. It's far too premature to talk about that. We're talking about concession opportunities that, you know, different companies could have in selling beverages and, you know, food snacks, et cetera. There's lots of different things on the table. We'd have to do a whole show just on state parks,
okay.
Which I'd be happy to come back and do, and we've got some more things to be able to flesh out. But it's just a lot of possibilities. I'm very optimistic about this, and if it can be done anywhere well, it can be done here.
What's your timeline for some of these recommendations?
We've got next year and a half to 2 years to be able to flesh all this out, so we're hoping to beat that deadline, of course, but we've got our people working on it internally already, you know, getting different information from different states and, again, learning from our friends out there.
And would you bring those recommendations back to the Senate and the Assembly and the Governor?
Oh, definitely.
As part of the next budget cycle?
Definitely.
17-19.
Even before that, we plan on, so that they've got time, you know, the policymakers need to have time to be able to go through all the different information we're going to bring forward. So, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an exciting conversation.
Isn't the mandate that the parks be self-sustaining, didn't that kick in July 1 for the current biennium?
No.
It didn't?
No.
Is it phased in?
Yeah, it's going to be phased in. And then we were also given a fee increase.
Yes, you were.
So we were given that too. So that was good to be able to meet what we saw as a structural shortfall over the next 2 years. So we've got a little bit of time yet to have this debate and discussion. I know it's going to be a healthy and robust one. People in Wisconsin love their state parks. They bring in about $1 billion, I think it is, to Wisconsin every year. It's an extraordinary gift that we've got, and the opportunity to make them better than we ever imagined is right here at the table for us. So I'm excited about it.
Another major issue that you've alluded to is groundwater, especially the challenges posed by CAFOs, Concentrated Animal Feeding Organizations. Is that
well
right?
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Well, you've seen the surveys on Kewaunee private wells. A number of them show evidence of bacteria, and a major hog farm proposed for Bayfield County. So will the agency be able to provide the groundwater studies needed to make sound decisions on some of these proposed CAFOs?
We've got a lot of different recommendations that we can bring to policymakers today, and we have been working on that for the last 4.5 years. One thing I want to say is that we are currently regulating CAFOs, you know, these facilities that you're talking about, within the confines of our full regulating authority. We're not the only entity that regulates and oversees CAFOs. The EPA does as well, so that's something else important to say. Where I see where we've got some challenges is the smaller operations. Operations that aren't as heavily regulated as the large ones. The large ones are most in the public eye and most in the headlines because they're the most visible. Where I see our challenges, Steve, is making sure we're doing whatever we can to, again, bridge that information gap with smaller facility operators to make sure that they're doing the best management practices, that they too are watching their groundwater quality and their runoff quality of their waters as well. So there's challenges there. I'm keenly aware of the challenges we've got with groundwater in Kewaunee County especially. We've had lots of conversations with elected officials from that part of the state as well as constituent groups that have come in to meet with us and with DATCAP as well, you know, the ag agency, to talk about how do we do a better job given the unique topography there of making sure that the groundwater quality that the outcome is better than what it is. They've got really keen challenges there. I think that there's room for discussion, and some of that hopefully will be going on after the summer here with policymakers across the state, not just in that part of the state, because they are aware of those challenges that we've got, that if we could have a little bit more flexibility to be able to talk about how do we regulate a little bit differently, and again, to talk about better management practices on the ground in those situations, opening that door for us, I think, would prove to be very successful. Now, I'm aware of the studies that have been done on the well water qualities there. There's challenges with that study. And again, my job is to make sure that we're using sound science, the law, common sense. There's some challenges there. They've got failing septic systems in that part of the state as well, differentiating between what is the animal contaminant versus human contaminant, because there are some issues there where there's
yes.
differences. Yeah. So if we're going to make really good, sound scientific decisions, we need sound science to do that. We've been doing some studies and partnering with NRCS over there. EPA has been involved in some of these discussions as well. We know we've got a need. We know the need is urgent. And we're going to continue to work and to educate policymakers to help us do a better job on the ground than what we can do today.
Waukesha, as you know, wants to get some of its water from Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. Initially, a preliminary recommendation from your agency says this looks feasible, mm-hmm. but can you update us now? There's going to be a public hearing today and tomorrow.
Right.
So where does DNR go from here, having made an initial finding that it's feasible?
Yes. First of all, this research has been going on, the back and forth between our department and Waukesha's water utility, for about 5 years now. So there's been an awful lot of dialogue back and forth from our agency and to Waukesha to look at lots of different potential possibilities and to help Waukesha as best they can review what we think would be an approvable application. There's a lot of challenges. This will be the first time that this
yes.
has been done under the Great Lakes Water Compact. There's other states that have to approve it. There's a couple of Canadian provinces as well.
Yes.
So there's a lot of dialogue. And then there's been a lot of changeover in leadership in those states and provinces over the last 5 years, too. So before we're able to get to that particular point, like you said, we're out for public hearing to be able to weigh in and hear comments from the public. I'll tell you, Waukesha has been a great partner in this and trying to so that they can understand and we can communicate as best we can on what we see as challenges, where we think that some of those other states or stakeholders might say, well, this isn't really legitimate, and really try and beef up the application so that we can answer all those questions, so that when we bring that proposal forward, when we bring that application forward, it's now Wisconsin's application. It's
yes.
not Waukesha's anymore.
Right.
So we want to make sure all of our questions are answered to the best of our ability ahead of time. I think Waukesha's done a very good job of doing that so far. We'll see now what the public has to say. We'll be reviewing those comments over the next several months. I'm expecting that there's going to be a lot of them that'll come in. And then we're going to weigh out those comments and see if there's a way to make it even a stronger application.
Is there a deadline for DNR to make a final
sure.
determination?
I didn't look at the actual,
okay.
I'm not familiar with the
okay.
actual deadline yet, but I know we're not going to rush this. We're going to make sure that it's a very thorough review of the comments that we get from the public. And again, if there are changes that need to be made to that application packet as a result of those comments, then that's what we're going to do. So Waukesha's got some dire needs there. They need to have clean, healthy drinking water. And it's our job as a regulating agency to see if there's opportunities there to be a net benefit to the environment, if that can happen. So
okay.
I'm hopeful.
Two final questions. Were you surprised that Gogebic shelved its plan to develop the mine in Iron and Ashland counties? That's number one. Number two, do you expect, as a landowner recently speculated, that there'll be another company at some point wanting to develop an iron mine in that region?
Well, I'll start with your second question first.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's interest in the future. It's a huge supply that we've got up in northern Wisconsin. So there's a huge strain there of iron that's, you know, in many different companies and investors' eyes, a potential for investment. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's interest in it in the future. That's the first thing. Was I surprised that the Gogebic pulled out? Not necessarily. I wasn't unsurprised either. I've been watching that as it was unfolding from afar. I allowed our staff and our regulators to be able to be working with the applicant to see, you know, what kind of studies they were doing on the ground, making sure that they were working within the confines of the law, getting the appropriate permits to do what the research was that they needed to do. I have no idea the background of their decision. I haven't talked with the company about why they made that decision. I'm assuming it's for monetary reasons. You know, that's usually what most companies base their decisions on.
The staffers that worked with Gogebic, did they report back to you that the biggest problem was an excess of potential groundwater problems with that proposal?
No, there was no reports to me about that.
Okay.
All I was kept apprised of was at what stage are they at in getting their core samples, what kind of work are they doing on the ground to make sure that they're, you know, capping off different sample areas to make sure that they're within the confines of what the rules and laws are and that they're doing what they're supposed to do on the ground. So, and I doubt highly that the company even had conversations with our staff about the pros and cons of what it was that they were finding. That's not typically something companies will share with regulators, so I'm not surprised by that. But again, we respect their business decision, and we just go back to work doing the other things we do.
Do you believe that Gogebic is going to put that land back the way it was? Or are they going to comply with
Well, that's the expectation. Yeah,
okay.
The expectation is that, and of course it's our folks' job on the ground to make sure that happens like we do with anybody that's doing that kind of work.
Okay, and then the final question, Governor Walker, campaigning for president, recently said the EPA should be at least be downsized, if not eliminated, to enforce, to act on disputes between the states on some of these major issues. Do you agree with that?
I'll tell you what I think the EPA should be doing. The governor can certainly is very able to speak for himself, but it's kind of along that same vein, Steve. The state's regulatory agencies are the closest to the ground, right, to where the actual activities are happening. We work the closest with people who are producing things on the ground. So I could see a much better role that EPA could be playing, which would be kind of the overseer to make sure that the states and people on the ground are complying with what the rules and the regs and the standards are. There should be a lot more interaction happening between regulators in Washington and the state agencies, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. We just talked about Kewaunee County, the different topography. My goodness, look at the different topography and varying amounts of resources and types of resources that are across the country, state to state. There is no one-size-fits-all. EPA is not always so quick to recognize that. There needs to be a much better system of being able to engage my counterparts, you know, different secretaries and DNR directors across the state, so that we can be involved to tell them what we think will work on the ground and what won't, what are some of the cost challenges, to do cost-benefit analyses that are real and meaningful, so that when we go out and talk to the public who's looking to maybe have to spend a lot more, say, for their electric bill every month than what they've ever imagined doing, that we can help them make better decisions at that umbrella size. At that spot, you know, at the very top of EPA. I think also that the federal agencies should be judging the state not by how many anvils you drop on the head of producers, but by how much cleaner our air and water are. That's common sense to me. Common sense and Washington doesn't always mix, as we've seen, but there are opportunities where we in Wisconsin are showing how we can do it better than what EPA even imagined. And a great example of that is phosphorus regulations. EPA has, you know, those rules were passed before this administration came in, and now my administration in DNR is the implementers of those rules. Well, they sounded great words on a page, and it's a laudable goal, but how it works in the real world is a very different story. So over the last 4.5 years, we've been working on coming up with an adaptive management plan that EPA will approve. And EPA wants us to be successful here because it's a good thing to reduce phosphorus loading in our waters. But yet, how we do that that's affordable, manageable, and practical matters. And so it wasn't like that in the beginning with EPA, where they really weren't on board. They, I think, were just a little bit hesitant to trust the administration. You know, you kind of have to build your relationships there, which we've done a good job of. But building that relationship and showing EPA how when we can partner with people who produce, there's no limits to the amount of successes we can see on the ground. We're seeing it every day, and we're going to see it with the rollout of this phosphorus rule again.
So, Wisconsin air and water is cleaner than when you took office?
Well, I'd say it's been cleaner over the last 40 years. And I would, you know, somebody will PolitiFact check me on this one. So I'd like to say it is cleaner than what it's been over the last, you know, before we came in here. But I know that we're taking steps in the right direction. Okay. And again, partnering with those folks, helping them understand the rules. They want to comply. They want to meet what those rules are. And we're going to help them get there. Cleaner air, cleaner water for everybody.
Kathy Stepp, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me.
Do
I have your promise when you have recommendations on changes for the parks, you'll be back in that chair?
You will just have to try and bar the door to keep me out, so absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.